Katya Gordon, and you are listening to KTWH for a live check-in with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. Greg checks in with us every Friday morning at 10:30 or slightly thereafter. Thank you so much for being with us again this morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning. So here we are in week, I don't know how you'd characterize it, maybe week three, week four, certainly several weeks into our staying at home mandates, and there's probably a lot of updates you could tell us about. Do you want to check in first with just what is the state of COVID-19 in Minnesota?
Yeah. So right now, as of yesterday, Minnesota has 1,242 positive confirmed cases of COVID-19. There have been 50 deaths across the state of Minnesota since they started tracking, 33 cases in St. Louis County. We still have zero cases in Lake County and zero cases in Cook County. There was a question asked last week about surrounding states, so I did pull that this morning as well. And this data is current as of yesterday as well. Wisconsin has 2,885 cases confirmed positive, North Dakota 269, South Dakota 447, and again, I mentioned Minnesota at 1,242.
Wow, good. So good to get those updated numbers. Can you tell us if those numbers are good news, bad news, or medium news?
Yeah, I would say for Minnesota, the numbers are good. You know, we're seeing an increase in St. Louis County, which I'm sure many of you have seen on the news the last couple of days. But I think in general, the shelter in place and all of the recommendations that have been put in place and some of those restrictions are clearly working. We are prolonging that surge in Minnesota that was predicted to be happening by some models now, some in a couple of weeks. So clearly, I think that's working. We're seeing some very positive results in Lake and Cook County as well. And I know there'll be some questions about testing here as well.
Yeah. So one question that has popped up is, are there people that are being tested at Lakeview Clinic, or are the tests going down to Duluth and being recorded as St. Louis County?
So what we've been doing, we have tested at Lakeview, both the hospital and clinic, throughout this entire process. We haven't tested a lot because we've been following the criteria that the Minnesota Department of Health has put out on testing. And again, that has been healthcare workers, it's been people in congregate living facilities, such as skilled nursing facilities, group homes, that kind of thing. The testing was just back on April 1st, the criteria for testing was expanded to ill patients over 65 years and older, ill patients with underlying medical conditions, first responders who provide direct medical assistance, and then ill care providers. The challenge with this that we've seen on the statewide has been there still is a lack of testing supplies. So from a provider standpoint, for us as a hospital and clinic, we certainly can test more people according to these guidelines, but the problem is we're going to run short on the supplies required to do that. So we're in good shape at Lakeview. We could test appropriately here, but it wouldn't take us long to really exhaust that supply, and it's hard to get more. So I just got off a call with the state Homeland Security Emergency Management and the Hospital Association and MDH. Again, we talk about this every day, is we need more supplies to support expanded testing, and the governor's office and others are working on that. So
yeah,
that's a daily process.
Okay, but I guess the main thing about this specific question is that if people do come to your clinic for a test and they qualify to have a test, they get a test rated at Lakeview, you don't send them to Duluth.
That's correct. So how it works as far as the testing goes is when you're tested for COVID-19, if that test is positive, it gets recorded in the county where you live or reside. So it's the county of residence, not the county where it's tested. So there's been some misconception in Lake County that, you know, we've had confirmed cases in Lake County, but they've gone to Duluth to be tested, therefore they're not showing up, and that's just not true. After there's a positive test, MDH does an interview with that individual, confirms where they live, and it gets recorded in that county.
Got it.
The other question that's come up to us a lot is, do you think there's been cases in Lake County? And I think we're fairly certain that there have been. The number of our population in the county and the social distancing and people following recommendations, it's likely that people have had COVID but have stayed home, followed those recommendations, have gotten better, didn't spread it to somebody else, and have gone back to their normal routine.
Yeah.
So I think that's important because, on the other hand, if people were to spread enough of it, we would have, just from a probability standpoint, we'd have people with shortness of breath and more significant symptoms that would require testing that we could confirm. So I think we're doing good as a county.
Right. So the sense is if people have it, they are staying home, and therefore it's not spreading, and that's why we're sticking to our zero, which I'm guessing will be isn't a number that we're really expecting to stay there, especially as summer happens and we get more influx. It seems inevitable. I know I just talked to Chief Police Rick Hoganson about the fact of smelting season is coming and fishing, and just sort of the inevitability of a certain amount of travel. Is that something that, I mean, maybe we just, there's not much you can do about it. It's just kind of the reality.
Yeah, that is a significant concern for us. I can tell you myself, when I look at the report every morning, I'm always grateful when we're at zero. I don't expect it to stay at zero forever, but the longer we can keep at zero, the better off we're going to be for a couple of reasons. Number one, we slow the transmission. We help to flatten that curve. We also conserve PPE, so masks and gowns and gloves and testing supplies for areas that are hard hit right now and need those. And so, again, I think we're doing our part both locally but both regionally and probably across the state, and it helps across the country indirectly as well, which is important.
All right. Tell us a little bit about how hospitals are dealing with this in Minnesota and the strain on the financial strain on hospitals that you see in your meetings with others.
So I'll break this down into two parts. I'll talk again about what Lakeview is doing and what we've been asked to do by the state and our partners. We've been asked to create a surge plan at Lakeview, and that looks at what is your capacity now as far as inpatient beds. How can you flex up to 200% of that, and then another 300% to really help if that curve was not flattened and things weren't going well or don't go well in the future. So our current capacity at Lakeview is 16 beds. We staff for it now. Our 200% or what we call a tier 2 surge goes up to 32 beds. So again, that means expanding our current inpatient unit, turning our outpatient services area and surgery and procedures area into an inpatient ward, if you will. And so again, we're able to expand up to take on more patients. And those could be regular medical surgical patients, or they, in the case of a surgeon, could be COVID patients. Right now with St. Luke's, we've got an agreement that we're part of St. Luke's. As part of that partnership, we transfer any suspected COVID patients down that need inpatient hospitalization to them because they have an ICU, they have ventilators, they have respiratory therapy, they have all of those resources that we don't have. In the event of a surge, we could be taking on some of St. Luke's non-COVID patients here as well to help them care for more COVID patients in the region. So that partnership works well. Your second question is really the impact on hospitals. There's some staggering statistics that just came out this morning and have been part of these discussions for the last week or so. It's estimated right now that the impact on Minnesota hospitals and health systems across the state will be $2.9 billion over the next 90 days. So billion with a B. An impact on revenues and expense and all of the things that go into preparing for COVID. And that's just, it's a staggering number.
Yeah, so that's just something for us to all be aware of, I guess. Not much we can do about it. It just is there.
Right. And what's really caused that is, you know, we've ended all elective surgeries. We've eliminated most non-essential visits. We're doing a lot of other type of work, but the reductions in just patient volume and revenue is significant. The downfall of that, though, is patients are having medical needs that are not being met, and so that can't go on forever. So we've got to find ways to treat patients despite having the COVID pandemic happening.
Yeah, so part of it is the new supplies, but part of it is the lost revenue of what's not happening.
Right, and then just the care of our patients and our community. The other piece, I think, which was really interesting is Minnesota Hospital Association represents 142 hospitals across the state, and right now in Minnesota, hospitals and health systems are spending about $13.3 million per day to purchase equipment and supplies related directly to a surge of COVID patients. So that's all preparation that's outside of normal operations. That's buying vents, buying disinfecting equipment, PPE, all of the things that you'd be related to caring for that. And that's per day.
Yeah. That's pretty significant. Tell us, Greg, a little bit about the testing. We know that the more we can test, the more we're going to have a handle on what's happening, but there are limits to the testing. Tell us where the status of testing right now as far as, well, you did already tell us sort of what the protocols are that you're following. Do you see it becoming more available in the future so that we can sort of hone in on areas of concern?
Yeah, there's really two components to that. As far as the testing right now, we have some significant improvements in getting results back. Mayo Clinic has stepped up, and they've processed a lot of these testing results. And so the non-congregate living tests are going to Mayo. They're turning tests around in 24 to 30 hours, which is super helpful from a provider standpoint.
Yeah.
Standpoint. We hoped within our system, within another week or two, to be able to test in-house, to do some quick turnaround tests, 45-minute kind of turnaround on that. I think the more widespread testing gets, the more effective we're going to be at really that mitigation plan and containment plan of knowing who's been infected and when, and then really that social, that tracing piece of it. We have to expand our testing in the near future, and things are in place to make that happen.
Yeah, it sounds like tests are soon to become much more widely available.
Yep.
Which we all seem to think there's universal agreement that that would be a really good thing. How about predictions of the future? We hear it's going to peak next week. We hear it's going to peak in July. I often say it sounds to me like weather forecasting is, all these models have to come together at some point. So from your vantage point, what would you say about the predictions?
So this has been the topic of discussion this week. There's kind of been themes each week as we get into week three and week four. So now it's on really predicting that surge. So what's happening, like I mentioned before, is Minnesota's doing a nice job. We're prolonging the surge. We're kind of pushing it out, allowing hospitals to prepare. So they're buying ventilators and all of that. There are different models that are being used. I'm sure you've read about the IHME model, which came out of the University of Washington. They're predicting the surge at a certain point. Qventus is another model. MDH has looked at different models with the governor's office. Right now, the predicted surge is anywhere from sometime in May, like mid-May, all the way out into July, mid to late July. There's even some conversation about it could be pushed into August if there's a surge, but the surge could be a lot flatter where the healthcare system could accommodate that influx of patients. So again, that's the goal, because we'll save lives by doing that. The hard part is knowing how do you plan for a May through end of July surge. We put all of our plans in place, and it's kind of now we wait, but going back, we have to care for patients that have medical needs that are not COVID as well.
Right, and I know Governor Walz spoke yesterday about how to keep the very long view in mind, it's the sort of how to keep people working and keep the economy moving is also not, you can't just shut down for 8 months. So, complicated questions that are being dealt with that all dance around this surge that is somewhat unknown, both in timing and in intensity. Is that fair to say?
There is no question. It's a very delicate balance between, I can say from the healthcare perspective, every single day matters. There's more PPE that's acquired. There's additional ventilators. There's surging that planning that happens. I think hospitals in general, especially the tertiary centers that will care for patients in their ICU, there's great progress being made. The hard part, like you said, though, is it can't go on forever because businesses are struggling. Individuals are struggling financially. There's all kinds of other impact, mental health. We've seen challenges around mental health where people just have not been able to connect socially and get out. And so, we see the impact of that sometimes on our clinical side in the ER and in the clinic. And so, again, we're doing everything we can to save lives and, again, trying to balance that impact on community and individuals.
Yeah. There is no, I guess life is not a zero-risk proposition, is it?
Right.
Well, thank you, Greg. Is there anything you still would like to chat about or that I haven't asked you about?
No, I think we've covered everything that's probably significant that we've been discussing this week.
Fantastic. Well, if you are available, we will hear from you again next week.
That sounds great. I will call back in.
Thanks, Greg. We'll see ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg with Lakeview Hospital and Clinic.